Good evening. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to Joshua chapter 7. And we'll begin with verse number 1. Joshua 7 follows the taking of Jericho in the previous chapter by the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. And chapter 7, verse 1, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They were very, very distressed. And Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. In other words, he said, in so many words, get up, Joshua. You look ridiculous. Why are you on your face like that? Why are you asking me, why are you accusing me concerning this? Get up. It's simple. The answer is simple. Israel has sinned. And they have transgressed also my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. As we looked at the idea of prayer and faith this morning, and faith in God's promises, this is an area where perhaps by misunderstanding, our faith unravels concerning God's promises. Joshua did not understand what had happened. You might say, well, that's not his fault, but really, biblically, it was pretty obvious. If you read some of the previous passages, if we begin in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 5, the promise, we'll read the promise first of all. Joshua 1 and verse 5 says, There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You'll never have a problem facing your enemies all the days of your life. Well, that seems like a broken promise at this point in Joshua's life. And Joshua's language was pretty strong. I mean, this is a rare moment that we see Joshua not in his best form. I mean, because he's exemplary everywhere else we see him. And at this point, he's extremely distraught, extremely discouraged. But as we read in chapter 6, when God gave instructions concerning Jericho, he was pretty specific. We'll begin in verse number 12. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day they arose about the dawning of the day and compassed the city the same the manner of 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the seventh time that the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 17, And the city shall be accursed. This city is accursed. Even it and all that are therein. The city and everything that in it is cursed. It's all cursed. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all they that are with her in the house, because they hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Don't touch anything there. None of it is for you. It is all an offering to God. It is all cursed, and don't touch it. And if you do, you'll find yourself cursed. Verse 19, But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And that was God's plan. Jericho was cursed, and they weren't to touch anything that was there. They were to slay everyone and completely destroy the city. It said both, verse 21, women, young and old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. Nothing was to be spared at all. And so they should have known, really, what had happened. They now had a curse upon them because a person had, Achan had taken of the accursed thing. Not only this, not only was it a command here in Joshua chapter number 6, but back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 in the law, in some of the final instructions of Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, speaking of when they were to come into the promised land, when they were to cross over Jordan, these were specific instructions to that time period and to that day. He said in verse 26, Neither shalt thou bring an abomination in thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly destroy it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, because it is an accursed thing. It should have been obvious to them. And Joshua's language was a bit strong, and so the Lord's language with him was a bit strong. He said, Get up. What are you wasting your time for? Praying about this issue. You're praying about this, and there's sin in the camp. This isn't my covenant broken, it's your covenant broken with me. And he goes on to describe it to them. And so, verse 13 of Joshua chapter 7, he says, Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. And so they did this, and the lot finally came to Achan and his family. And we read down in verse 19, "And Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel.'" It's as though Joshua there in the last few moments there is begging him not to be ridiculous, just lay it out there, not to make excuse, just say what you did, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold 15 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver was under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and said, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned him with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Back in verse number 11, when the Lord is laying out his accusation, he says they have taken of the accursed thing. First of all, that was the first accusation. You've taken that which is cursed. And then he says, "And have also stolen, and dissembled also, and have put it among their own stuff." There were several things there that that he had done that were displeasing to the Lord in doing this one act. And that's the way it is with all of our sin. You know, when we sin, it's numerous offenses. The one act that we do, sometimes it may be, we may categorize it as one sin or another, but in many ways we sin against God every time we sin. And he said that he had stolen. And the interesting thing is when we read in verse 21 that he had taken a Babylonian garment, he had taken a garment of someone that was dead. And he had taken the gold of someone that was dead, and the silver of someone that was dead. We would, most of us would say, well, that's not stealing. You know, this is how we look at sin. We look at it in our own technical way. We would say, well, technically, that's not stealing. That's how we justify things. Well, technically, he's dead. Technically, he can't use that. I might as well use it. I could tithe on this. I could, you know. But the simple fact of the matter is God had not allowed it. That was all there was to it. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to make sense. The simple fact of the matter is God said you can't have it. And that's all there is. It just was not the will of God. We read in Psalms 21 that the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. If we really looked at life in that light, if we really honestly looked at everything in the light of this is God's, God owns it all, then we would be much more careful with what we did with everything. We would stop and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then we would realize that when we took things, even if we paid for them, even if they were nobody else's, if we took things that God had not given to us in his will and in his plan, we were stealing from God. Things in our lives that God has not willed for us to have at that point, that he has not planned for us to have, that he has not provided a way or spoken specifically to us in allowing it. We rob God. We steal from God. He stole from God in another way, in that all of the silver and all of the gold was to go to the house of God. That was another way in which he had stolen also. We read that back in chapter number 6. So, not only had he taken the accursed thing, he had made himself a thief. He had robbed God. And that is what we do every time we take anything that's not God's will. We take an opportunity, we take a job, we buy a car, we buy a toy, we buy a trinket, we do something that wasn't in God's will. And we've taken a curse to ourselves. And we've spoken bold words, maybe not vocally, but in our hearts, we've said, Lord, where are you on your promises? I know they're in the Word of God, but where are you at on these promises? You said I would never have to flee from my enemies. That's what you said, but it doesn't work. You're cursed. We're cursed. I believe it's my own personal feeling that we live in a day that we're so cursed from so many different things that we don't even know which way's up. I mean, most of the time, we probably couldn't pinpoint one reason why so much is wrong in our lives. I really believe that. I look at my own life and I know, Lord, I offend you in many ways. And we've been so far gone that I think at times that I can't even see like Joshua. I can't see the ways, Lord, that I'm offensive to you. I'm calling you into question on your promises, and look at me. Look at where I'm at. And I know that's the case. And so we find ourselves looking ridiculous before the Lord. Looking ridiculous and praying over our problems. We've got tons of problems, and sometimes we probably look ridiculous praying over them. So many times. I know it's the case. It's in my life, I know for sure. And then the next thing that we see, after he said that in verse number 11 that they had stolen, he said, and have dissembled. Dissembling is putting on a false show. That's what that is. It's pretense. They went marching into Ai thinking they were all set. I mean, they thought that they were all ready. They went marching in. They thought, you know, let's not all go into battle. You know, just we can handle this. And yet all the while, Achan had hidden in his tent the accursed thing. Pretense. God hates pretense. And God will protect his name. He will not have you going about and living as though nothing's wrong. And acting like nothing has ever happened. And acting like there's not some sin buried in your tent. He'll not let that happen. He will not let that happen. So we could probably trace a lot of difficulties back to that. A lot of the lack of power in our lives. God had said to Joshua there in verse number 12, he said, in the last part of it there, he said, neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. And then in verse 13, he said, thou canst stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Do you lack power in your life? I speak from my own heart. I regularly feel like I lack the power that I want. And my first reaction is to go on a hunt. That's my first reaction, to hunt. I start hunting through my life. Why do I lack the power that I want to have with my spiritual enemy, Satan? Why am I not there? Why can I not destroy him as easily as I once did? Remember in Jericho, that it just worked. It worked so easily. They didn't even have to get dirty, and it just worked. Do you remember a time when your life just worked? Do you spend your days lamenting a time in which it doesn't work? Have you gone on a search through your life? God will protect his name. He is bound to protect his name in this earth. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet came to him in 2 Samuel 12 and 14, and he said, David, your sins are forgiven, but because you have caused so much reason for the nations to blaspheme, the baby will die. It was for that reason alone, the protecting of his name. He had to protect his name. And he must do the same thing in our lives. He's got to protect his name. Back in Joshua chapter 1, when we read the promise there, in verse 5 it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. There's a condition in that. You don't see it at first glance, but there's a condition in that promise. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. The condition was that you weren't any man, and that you were his people. That was the condition. But when you have aligned yourself with the enemies of God, and you have brought great reproach and reason for blasphemy against the cause of Christ, you have left the camp of God's blessings altogether. The Bible says that the Lord was with them as long as they were with Him. But when they aligned themselves with His enemies, He could no longer, for His name's sake, bless their activities. When they had the accursed thing in their midst, or later on when they would worship idols and take in false gods, He cannot bless that. In the book of Ezekiel, after God had chastised Israel for a great long time, He said, I'm going to make you whole just for my own namesake. I'm going to heal you for my own namesake. He will protect His name. And so look at your life and consider these things. When you feel like God has broken His promises, either one, you haven't waited long enough, or perhaps two, in your life there's the accursed thing. And then we read the Old Testament and we read about these physical accounts and physical things that they took in and the physical things that Achan stole. But as you look at your own life, don't look necessarily at what you've bought at Walmart lately, although that is something you should consider. You should be very careful. That should go without saying. Shouldn't even have to preach on that, on what you buy and don't do and do with your money. Shouldn't even be a subject that we should even ever have to preach on. I mean, there's so many things that people think should be preached on that we should never even have to. Why should we even have to consider this? It's ridiculous. But look at it in your own heart. Look at the trinkets that are in there. Look at the, are there accursed things in there? Is there bitterness in there? The Bible says in the New Testament, thereby many be defiled. Many be ruined by bitterness left down in your heart. Is the accursed thing there? Is there covetousness like Achan? Is there anything there that you're not willing to get rid of? Preaching is a two-edged sword. Used to hear Brother Titus say many times that, you know, you can just go and sin and live in it for a while and see how that works for you. But a preacher's only got 2 days to get right. And that's, in a lot of ways, very true. And as a preacher, you become very acutely aware of the presence of God because you can't do anything without it. You have a job that you have to do 2, 3, and more than that, you have to be at people's side through the week, and you cannot do it without the Lord. You're very acutely aware of your walk every single moment because you just simply can't preach without Him, simply can't get it done. And it causes you to go on a mission. Lord, is there anything in there? Anything down in this heart that I've missed? Is there pride? Is there a lack of faith? What's there, Lord? Help me. And learning to fall out before the Lord and empty out your heart and try to make sure that your vessel is empty and clean, because it is so hard to get a message from the Lord. You can't You can't sit down and have some thing troubling you, something that has made you angry in the previous week, and get a message from the Lord. It's nearly impossible. You can't fall out with your wife and get a message from the Lord. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. But sometimes if you are not very acutely aware of that in your life and you're not very active spiritually and there's not much going on, you can haul around trinkets for a long time. You notice it when you engage the battle. That's when you notice it. It wasn't noticed until they decided to encounter Ai that there was a problem. You notice it when you engage the battle. And sometimes the battle comes to you. You come into times in your life of trials and difficulties, and there you are. There you are at war, completely unarmed. No ability to cope with the situation, no ability to handle yourself because you've been carrying around the accursed thing and you have no fellowship with God, and you find yourself in that condition in Joshua there, chapter 7, where he said, "Neither will I be with you anymore." That ought to be heartbreaking to the child of God. It scares me to death. I want to know the will of the Lord for my life. When you're a preacher, sometimes that means you have to move, and it scares me to death. It scares me to the point that I can't hardly make a decision. I mean, I'm frozen, stiff, I can't move, and sometimes I had rather just die than make a decision. I don't want to curse myself, curse my family. Notice, besides 36 Israelites that died, Achan's whole family was stoned. You say, it doesn't seem fair. You're right, it's not fair. It's not fair, it's not. And it's not God's fault, it's Achan's. And you're right when you say it's not fair that his family should be stoned. It's not. It was not fair, and it was Achan's decision. And he did it, and it's not fair. It's messy, as Pastor has said many times. Sin is messy. There aren't good solutions. Churches come and have to deal with sin at times. There aren't good solutions. It's messy, and that's the way it is. It's a curse. Many people say, I just feel like I'm cursed. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You better stop and think about that for a moment. I've often said you need to figure out if you're Jonah or Job. Figure that out. Where are you at? Is this a Jonah phase or a Job phase? If you're running from your enemies, chances are this is the problem. If God is allowing his enemies to have victory over your life, stop and think. Is there the accursed thing in my life? What really drew me to this passage was verse 13. It said, "Thou canst stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." It caught my attention because I want more victory. I always want more victory. And it stood out. It jumped off the page at me when I read that. Thou canst stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. You can't get it done. You can have every other spiritual gift. You can be trying in every other way, but you can't get it done. It won't happen. And it can be a small thing, and it's ruining your life. Get rid of it. And again, it may not be a physical thing that you need to go home and get rid of. It may be, but it may not be. It may just be something down in your heart that you have not dealt with, has to be dealt with. The results of this curse, as we saw, were 36 people died in war. Achan's family died. The other result is you look ridiculous when you pray. As God said to Joshua, "Get up! What are you doing? Why are you laying there like that? This is simple. This is a simple equation." He says in verse 11, "Israel hath sinned." I mean, you can almost hear it in his voice as you read those words. "Wherefore liest thou thus on thy face?" I wonder how many times have we banded together in prayer and perhaps God despised the very things that we were saying because we wouldn't take care of our lives. We wouldn't clean up the messes. We wouldn't deal with it. You cannot move forward at all. The other result of the curse that we saw in verses 12 and verse 13, there's no victory until this is fixed. There'll be no victory. against your enemy, the devil, against the things that you face, against your flesh and the motions of this flesh. Do you struggle to gain victory in your personal life? I know I do. Do you struggle to beat down this flesh? To mortify it the way the New Testament tells us to mortify it? You struggle with that? Is there anything you've held back from God? Is there anything? Is there anything that the pastor preaches that you just say, you know, that's going too far? One day you'll get tired enough that you'll try anything. One day you'll get tired enough that you might start looking at some of those things and say, you know what, maybe that's one of the things that is really holding me back. And I'm just going to step out in faith and try. I'm going to try to get rid of that and see what happens. I'm going to try, you know, this thing or that thing. I've never been real sure about it. But I'm sure about one thing. I don't have any victory. And I'm going to start getting rid of things I'm not sure about until I have the victory that I want. Lastly, we go to the saddest part of the story to me. It's incredibly sad. We find it in Joshua chapter number 8. After they clean this mess up, God gave them His instructions on conquering Ai. In Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee." You see that God's plan for this war was completely different than their plan. Because you can't get leadership when you're cursed. It just doesn't work. God's not the author of confusion. We are. We're the authors of confusion. God isn't. So God's plan was altogether different. "Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go to Ai. See, I have given them into the hand of the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho." You're going to do the same thing you did to Jericho, "only the spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, shall ye take for prey to yourselves." Just another day later, and God was going to give them all that they had coveted after. What a waste that Achan had done in his life. There were things that he desired, and he just took them. And the very next town, God was going to say, "Take whatever you want." The very next town. I wonder if that's so in our lives. The very next town, God was going to say, "You know that thing you've been wanting for so long? Here you go." And what a sad day that when we get to that town, so many have already compromised. So many have already sinned. So many have already lost patience with God and just gone out and took something that wasn't theirs to take yet at that time. What a sad thing. I've often said that to people that have come and counseled with me. They're giving up hope on a situation. Maybe they're remarrying, maybe they're whatever. They're giving up hope on a situation. And I say, what if tomorrow was the day that God was going to change it all? What if tomorrow was the day that God was just going to take your ex out of the world? I don't know. I mean, I don't say to wish for those things, but what if tomorrow was the day? What if tomorrow was the day that God was going to satisfy your soul in a way that you couldn't have imagined, and today you sold your children and everything you had to the devil for it? What if tomorrow? What if the next town? What if the next phase of your life has all that God had planned for you and you compromise today to get it? What if tomorrow was you inheriting everything you could possibly need for your life, but today you compromised everything to gain a few dollars? Today you compromised the Lord's day, maybe, to get a few things done, to make a little money, And tomorrow, you were going to head into Ai. And God was going to give you all the spoil. What a sad thing. You know, God said something similar like that to David in 2 Samuel 12. And I'm not sure what God would have done for David. But in 2 Samuel 12, in verse 8, God said to David, and it's heart-wrenching, it really is. I mean, I've known the story of Ai for a long time, but I never put it together and never read chapter 8, and it literally made me nauseous as I read what God would have done just another day. And we see that in David's life. He said in verse 8, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would have, moreover, given unto thee such and such things." I'm not sure what God would have given David to cure his immediate desire for that physical lust that he ran after there at that moment. But God would have had something. He said, "I would have given thee such and such things." David, we're friends. David, we've always had communication that was so close and so free. And I would have given you what you wanted. I would have made a way. You didn't have to murder. You didn't have to lie. You didn't have to commit adultery to have your soul fulfilled. You didn't have to do it. I would have. I would have satisfied you, David. And as we see in the story of Ai, just another town. Just another day. Oh, how we need to wait on the Lord. He is faithful. We see so much of God's character there in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 8. His desire to satisfy His children. As we tried to look at this morning, much of our faith hinges on the character of God and who God is. And if you don't think much of God, you're not going to have much faith in God. Do you believe that He would moreover give thee such and such things? Maybe you've lived so long with so many curses that you just really can't even see God anymore. You just see all the problems around you. I believe that's a common phenomenon in the day that we live in. I really do. I believe that the promises of God are so far from us because we have so cursed ourselves in many different ways. I speak that with myself included. I know that I don't have the victory that I had at different points in my life, and I long to be victorious. But the nature of life is the longer you live, the more trinkets you pick up. The more things you pick up in your heart and in your life, and the more you have to battle against these things. But what a sad story. What one day's difference would have made. I wonder what God has planned for you tomorrow. Don't give up on Him today. I wonder what is just out there. Pastor preached a message on the other side of nothing is something. On the other side of nothing is God and His plans. He preached a message from the story of Elijah and the drought and it not raining in that cloud. And after so long of nothing, eventually there was a cloud. And the other side of that little cloud was a torrential rain. How many times we give up too early? We compromise everything. We curse ourselves, we curse our family, we curse our nation, we curse our church. It's almost like the more of us we pile together, the more chance we have of more curses. Look at your life. Certainly nobody wants to live a cursed life. We all want to live a blessed life. We want a life that's characterized by just being constantly overflowed and rained on with blessings. But we often choose a cursed path simply because we just don't wait on the Lord. He will take care of us. He'll bless. He'll stay true to His promises. If you stay true to Him, draw nigh to the Lord, and He'll draw nigh to you. Amen.